This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast covering Ipswich Town since 2015. I'm Richard Wooden and this is the pre-match show, Sunderland at Home edition, brought to you in partnership with our good friends at the Greyhound Pub in Ipswich. The show is available every week on podcast, audio and video, and sometimes live like we are tonight. So we want to hear from you. But first off, let's hear from my good buddy, Sev Brown. Sev, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, mate. Not too bad at all.
It's been out and about this week.
I've been to the cinema to see Spider-Man, and I've been to Anfield to watch Liverpool play Newcastle last night. Who? Anfield, the land of milk and honey.
Oh, gone off Ipswich, have you?
Well, I had to make a choice between, you know, Barrow away at 20 quid a ticket, 2.5 hours away, or Liverpool in the Premier League, and sure enough, I quite enjoyed going to watch Liverpool. Oh. Yeah, it kind of reminds you that football can be really, really enjoyable.
I was going to say, is it like watching a totally different sport?
Yeah, it's brilliant. You're not angry during the game. You don't get frustrated. You're not sort of screaming. The refs are pretty decent. You know, you're seeing patterns of play that you didn't think were possible. And yeah, it was very enjoyable. I think it's my fourth or fifth time to Anfield, and it's always a good night out there, to be fair. And yeah, touch wood. So I've done a COVID test this morning. I'm all right this morning. So hopefully, fingers crossed. Yeah, I'll have escaped. But no, it was been a busy week.
Well, as we said, we are live tonight, so we want to hear from you. And there's good numbers already in the chat. Evening to Charlie, evening to MW, evening to George, Blue, FPL Tractor, good evening, Prancer and Dancer. Come on, Seb. Who's who?
I'll go Dancer.
Shut up.
I've seen you dance in our nights out in uni. It wasn't pretty sight, so I'll take that.
I'm not having that. Charlie's already on you, Seb. On your case. That's worked. I've already riling up folk in time for Room 101.
That's it. Room 101 seeds early.
I've got a crap Rewado on this week, so I'm scared. Elliot, good morning. Good day, Michael. Good to have you with us. Elliot, please do the Northern Irish accent again.
Have you been practicing? I heard it on last night's show. Have you been practicing in the last 24 hours? Are we going to get a rendition?
No, I have not been practicing. But you never know. I won't tell you what is in my special Craig Forrest goalkeeper mug this evening, so maybe at the end of the show we'll sign people out. Evening to Jules, good to see you. No angle frustration, you say. What is this mythical land, Seb?
It does exist, people. It genuinely does exist.
The good. Here we go, Michael. Connection. McKenna comes from the same town in Ireland as my mother. There we go. If you've got any tenuous links like Michael to Ipswich Town personnel, past or present, we want to hear from you. Eric, good evening to you. Great to have you with us. And thank you for the thumbs up. Elliot on Facebook as well. We see Facebook out there. How long was that potty mouth? We haven't sworn yet, have we?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I'll FPL if you want. I can go straight in. No, I'm not going to do it. Professionalism is, unlike last night, Seb, I don't know if you saw last night.
I've listened to it on the drive home from work today. Yeah, I guess at the end you were, yeah.
It's like herding cats last night.
Yeah, brilliant. It was great. I loved the management quotes at the end. They were absolutely superb.
Did you like me singing Desiree?
Yeah, and your attempted chance for Paul McKenna. I've done it already, Paul McKenna. Yeah. For Kieran McKenna. I've done it already.
Look into my eyes, not around the eyes. Look into my eyes.
4 minutes in and the first managerial name error has occurred.
Yeah. At least we're not having to spell it. And I've seen some good spellings, even into you, Cornish. We will talk about how optimistic we are feeling shortly. Let's do some bits and pieces of news first of all. And worth mentioning, Seb, we played a match this week. It kind of feels like ages ago, Barrow in the FA Cup. Do you want to give us any response or reaction to that debacle? Or was it entirely predictable for you?
I did kind of think this might happen. Hence why I chose to go to the cinema, which, to be fair, you know, I very, very rarely put things ahead of watching Ipswich Town. But all I could think of was Lincoln 2017, you know, on telly, albeit thankfully ITV4 as opposed to one of the mainstream channels. But I could just see it coming. You know, that's probably the real reason I didn't go, because, you know, then you're looking at a 2.5 hour drive back after the inevitable. And when I saw the team, I kind of thought, OK, well, I guess it's a bit of a hybrid, two up top again. So, you know, he's sticking with that from the Wigan game. But you know, as soon as I got out of the cinema and I turned on my phone, you know, all the messages from you guys were coming through, and I just thought, well, that's inevitable. We're not really shocked anymore, are we? Not really angry, we're not really shocked. It's just kind of an acceptance at this stage, isn't it?
Oh, some
But when you're that poor in the cup, you know, I don't think these comes as much of a surprise anymore. I certainly wasn't that shocked, and I think that was a general feeling amongst town fans, wasn't it? You know, just when you think things can't get much worse, we seem to be able to find a new low, don't we? If losing to Arsenal's children isn't bad enough, then, you know, a week later we've lost to Barrow in an FA Cup replay. And it's annoying because I was going to go to Barnsley in the third round. I've never done Oakwell, so I was looking forward to that to tick it off. But yeah, thanks
very much. I've done Oakwell, so I don't have to go back. The highlight of the day, so it was the one all draw under Jewel, when I think Cresswell possibly scored really early and we tried to hang on for 90 minutes and they scored in the kind of the 89th minute or something. The highlight of the day was chips with gravy from a local chippy, which was lovely. Welcome, and I could just about understand the accent, which was just really good, talking about accents. And then obviously 24 hours later, I'll talk about management appointments later on. It'll be a recurring theme. We haven't heard from you yet on Kieran McKenna, Seb. Give us your take.
Excited, I think, like most people are. You know, it's very different to what we normally do. And let's be honest, we've tried just about every manager who's got multiple promotion CV on their CV, and none of it has worked. So why not try something different? I know people are saying that Hurst was an up and coming manager, but he'd still manage hundreds, you know, a few hundred games, hadn't he, in the Football League. McKenna is completely different. He's coming with a sort of a modern look at things, I would suggest. You know, he's a professional coach for first off. You know, no playing career to speak of really whatsoever. And he sort of dedicated the last, 12, 13 years of his life to learning coaching. So I'm really, really excited. You know, I thought it might be an older style manager appointment to try and galvanize the squad for the remaining 6 months of the season, just to try and gatecrash sixth or fifth and maybe, you know, sort out some of the questionable attitudes, I guess we could say, following the Charlton game amongst the players. But this is a real statement, I think, from Game Changer. The 3.5 year contract means that, you know, this is their man. They're going to look to really, really build something here. And I think we all know in reality this season probably is, you know, it's a write-off. It's too much ground to make up. So as long as we see 6 months now for me of improvement, decent passages of play, patterns of play, you know, we're learning, we stick with the formation and we can see improvement, continuous improvement for the next 6 months, I'll be quite excited going into next year. But then, to be fair, I'm fairly sure we also have this in March when Paul was appointed. So that's, I mean, it comes to the risk that it, you know, every managerial appointment comes to the risk. It could go wrong. But like I said at the start, we've tried the old-fashioned managers who control every aspect of the club. Why not try something different and see what we get with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm supportive of all that. The reason I was kind of talking about Barrow first is, and I guess I'm doing a disservice to Mark Ashton if I thought that this might affect his thinking, but you came out of that performance and obviously the thoughts of Terry Butcher ringing in ears is kind of, we need someone to kick this lot up the arse. This needs a big personality, a Warnock or what have you. And you'd have been, if you were Mark Ashton, I guess it'd have been difficult to have not been influenced necessarily by Barrow, but I guess you hope that this decision, this this process had been in motion, and you kind of take the emotion out of it, don't you? But you do worry, as I say, for this season, that it might take a while for the green shoots that we always talk about to show. But you hope that when they do appear, that success is more sustainable. Whereas Paul Cook's green shoots kind of came up, we had Wickham, and then it just, they were cut away or whatever the gardening analogy is. I don't know.
Battered Doncaster on a Wednesday night, absolutely amazing, or Tuesday night, absolutely amazing, and lose to Accrington 3 days. Accrington wasn't it 3 days later. So yeah, you'd like to think that with consistent coaching, and I presume he'll bring in a relatively decent first team coach to join him. I'm guessing Rennie Gilmartin might stay. He's a goalkeeping coach, isn't he? He might stay on as the goalkeeping coach because we need one of those. So we'll probably see one more first team coach added to the roster, and you'll hope to, like you said, hopefully those green shoots that we see will become more and more common, and we'll start to get some real consistency in the second half of this season.
Yeah, it's a high potential appointment, we were saying last night. So
yeah, Joe kept saying that the high ceiling, it does feel like this guy's got a very, very high ceiling, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, so very good. I'm just interested with the stuff in the chat here. We were asking for tenuous player connections. My mum used to sit in a cafe with Eric Gates. There you go. My mum wasn't impressed with him. He was dating a friend. There we go. Jules went to Belfast once FBL. I was going to... Jules has kindly censored it.
Yeah.
I didn't say the words. A P-up. Evening to Anthony. Elliot, the chaos of yesterday's show was the best today. Ben just lost it by it. It wasn't my best moment hosting Seb, I'll be honest. But nevertheless, we powered through. Michael, connection number two. Nephew, a Norwich fan, used to deal with him at Lee Sports Village, where the Man U under 23s play. That's Kieran McKenna, we assume, Michael. There's some facts missing from there. We will assume you mean Kieran McKenna. FPL, I'm not taking... Oh, he's slagging off Cameron Burgess. I'm not taking it. I'm not having it, Seb. We're not throwing players under the bus tonight.
It's a new era, people.
Yeah, I take the disappointment. But I don't think anyone really stood out in that first half against Barrow. Let's continue with the news. A few bits and pieces to talk about. We like to put focus on the ITFC women's team, obviously doing amazingly well in the league at the moment. Really tough fixture for them on the weekend against Oxford, off the back of a 2-0 win at AFC Wimbledon in the Cup, drawn against Newcastle in the next round at the end of January. So that'll be an exciting trip. If you fancy a double header, the men play Sheffield Wednesday on a Saturday, women play Newcastle on the Sunday. So keep an eye peeled. There might be a bus or something doing that. Oxford, really good form though. Beat Keynsham 3-0 last time out. They moved up to second in the league. I think they're unbeaten at home. Southampton still only played 9 games, which is why Oxford have moved up. So got games in hand. So, but really tough game that one. And obviously the girls will want to go out with confidence for the calendar year. It's the last game of the calendar year, as I said. Big one. But as I say, top of the league, plenty of confidence there. We spoke to Abby Lafayette. She was on the bench last week, having recovered from an injury, hoping to see her feature as well. If you want to understand the mindset and psychology of that team, give a listen to that interview with Abby Lafayette, because it's great. The amount of confidence, the amount of belief they have, and the determination to succeed as well. So give them your support.
And also the scary premonition that the manager Joe Sheehan had against Southampton away. That was impressive, wasn't it? We're going to score from this, and then boom, yeah.
Yeah.
No, a great pod. Much as it does pain me to praise you, you've done well with that one. So, really well done. It's a great interview, everyone. Everyone listen to that and just listen to a really, really great positive side of the club at the moment.
And Joe Sheehan nearly predicted Paige Peak took a free kick that hit the bar last week, and he kind of called that as a possible goal as well. So he's got the magic eyes, Joe. And we're hoping at some point maybe to speak to him as well, which would be great. So keep a lookout for that. Other bits and pieces of news, apart from the obvious, obviously, tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, depending on when you're listening to this, and when you've listened to this, this may or may not have already happened. The long-awaited unveiling of the Kevin Beattie statue, Seb, which will take place at Portman Road at about 10:15. I think it starts at 9:30. Mark Murphy is there with Radio Suffolk and so on. I think 10:15 is when it is properly unveiled, though. And folk are welcome to head down there and watch that. Fans raised £110,000 to make that sculpture happen. It will be revealed to the world by Beattie's daughter, Emma. And amongst the guests expected, sculptor Sean Hedges-Quinn, who did the Sir Ralph statue and the Sir Bobby statue, Butch will be there. Alan Brazil will be there. Brian Hamilton, Alan Hunter. This is according to TWTD, by the way. Don't blame me if these guys don't show up. Steve McCall, Mick Mills, Terry, Tommy O'Neill, Roger Osborne, Russ Losman, John Podelty, Brian Tormitt, and John Walk amongst those there. Luke Chambers is supposed to be there. David Sheepshanks there. And our friends from Game Changer should be there as well. Michael Leary, the chairman, and Mark Ashton will be there. And Burke Mackay and Mark Demmer, who did a fantastic interview earlier with the club. I don't know if you saw that. But yeah. Seb, I went down and had a quick look at the kind of statue area. It's kind of covered in plastic to avoid spoiling it for tomorrow. But a great legacy, another legend of the club that is, you know, I know that we feel down a lot of the time looking at our current predicament, and we don't want to wallow too much on the past, but that level, the stature that we had, and I just can see Jules is bang on here. What a great way to immortalize these players and managers who've been so pivotal to our history.
He's an absolute legend. I actually, when I was at school with you, I used to work at BBC Radio Suffolk in the school holidays on like a work placement kind of thing. And at the time, BT was involved with Terry Baxter in some sort of weekly show. And he was just the nicest guy in the world. You know, I was a spotty 16-year-old who didn't know what I was doing. And, you know, it's quite intimidating when you're meeting, you know, top class ex-players and stuff. And he was just the nicest guy in the world. We'd sit and have a chat and he'd ask me, it was the summer we got promoted to the Premier League under Burley. So he'd ask me, you know, what do you think of the current squad? Who's your favourite player? And he was just the nicest guy in the world. You know, always had time for everybody in the building. An absolutely top bloke. So yeah, really, really happy that he's having a statue unveiled. And yeah, what an absolute legend he is.
Yeah. This is a great story from Herfy 99. When the beat was landlord Henley Cross Keys, he used to ring my mum, who worked at the Cottenham Duke's Head, for her to put his bets on so his wife didn't find out. Legend. And as Jules says as well, legend as well. Worth drawing attention to this as well. I don't know if this is still possible. Rob Finch's book, kind of similar to the Paul Mariner book, where Mark Donaldson kind of ghost wrote a lot of it and worked with the beat. Rob Finch's BT book is available directly from the author. If you go to TWTD, I wish I had the link to hand, but I'm not prepared. You can email Rob and get a copy of the book. I gifted mine to someone, because a non-Ipswich fan, because it's such a great story and one of those players that you think in the modern era would be lauded, you know, would be talked about as, you know, multi-million pound kind of player. So I always take the opportunity to spread the Ipswich joy amongst the world, but you can pick up a copy via Rob. So I think that's on TWTD's website. If you're looking for that, definitely recommend that. Finally, I mean, I don't want to use the C word, not least because
do we have to talk about it?
FBR Tractor's here, and I don't want to get him in trouble. But worth, I guess, flagging Gillingham's match against Crewe has been postponed, and worth keeping an eye there. I think probably all of us need to keep an eye on what's happening next week, because it feels like something might come to a head there. We do hope not. And obviously, as things stand right now, when we're going out, the game is happening. And so I guess just keep an eye on that. But it'd be disappointing, Seb, because we're kind of used now to football being back. But obviously the safety of the players and the backroom staff, but also supporters, I guess, is in everyone's mind, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, everyone has to follow the guidance. The safety of people is absolutely paramount. It's lovely to have football back. You know, we missed the whole of last Christmas, didn't we? We had the week before the first game was called off, and then we missed the Boxing Day game, and then didn't come back till the start of January, did we? So, you know, it's been lovely to have it back, but I guess we'd have to listen to the experts and see what they say. And everyone that's going tomorrow, you know, please maintain social distancing and use the sanitizing points where available. And if the club do it right, like I say, I was at Anfield last night and I was very, very impressed. I know it's a different scale, and you know they had far more stewards and far bigger concourses, but it was done very, very well last night, to be fair. So you've got to hope the club will have similar. You know, we're one of the few clubs that have been practicing these COVID passports since the start of the season, so we're now very, very well prepared for it and very worse than it. Hopefully, you know, everything touched will be okay tomorrow.
Yeah, well done, public service announcement there. Get your boosters and all that as well. Brilliant. Take care of yourselves.
And each other.
We need to look after each other. We need the views, not least. No, I'm joking. And hopefully we all have a good Christmas as well. So let's move on to more pressing matters, shall we say. Sunderland. There you go. How's that for an accent? I'm hoping Brilliant. There's no Sunderland fans watching, if you are, evening, sorry. Seb, remind us where Sunderland are, because this kind of, for me, this game has the same repercussions, the long-lasting repercussions that we were hoping Wickham would have, but it's the opposite way around. As in, we were hoping the Wickham performance, the 4-1, would galvanise the team, give us, establish some confidence to go into the season and start to grab it by the cojones. This game, to me, is the point where everything started to fall apart at the Stadium of Light, where we played well. You were there, weren't you?
I was, yeah. It was the same old story. You know, we played well. We dominated the first half. We had no cutting edge. Selina misses a couple of chances. And then we're punished, very much like the game you and me went to a couple of years ago. It would have been the first season back down. I can't remember all the second season back down. I don't know. When we lost late on, exactly the same thing happened. You know, two late goals conceded. And afterwards, Lee Johnson comes out and says, you know, they really impressive performance by them. And it really wasn't, you know, on the day they were very, very ordinary. But that victory against us has sort of spurred them on a little bit, and streaky Lee's on now one of his winning streaks, as opposed to the struggle they had before we played them. What's the old saying? Along come Ipswich. That was very much the case that day, because since then they've not really looked back, you know, in the league with their form.
It's crazy, isn't it, how that works? And I was I've done some stuff for Sunderland podcast. I forgot the Roka Report about the match tomorrow, and they've asked for my predictions and stuff like that. And it's like, that game at the Stadium of Light cost me my job, mate. You've just cost me my job. But it did feel like that. It did feel like a momentum killer, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were booing him. The atmosphere was very, very flat. I think, you know, had we won that game, maybe even if it had finished a 0-0 draw, I think he'd have likely got the boot the next, on the Monday morning. And that just shows how confidence in football and how quickly things can turn around. And like you say, hopefully this can now be the catalyst for us with the full crowd, a couple of the American guys over, the new manager watching before he officially takes charge on Monday. Hopefully, you know, this can be a catalyst for us to start going. They're doing really well this season, obviously. They're up to third now in the league on 42 points. As we said, they were on the poor run, and then we came along. And what they've done is, since we've played them in the last five, they've won three and drawn two. And it's very much been a formation change, which seems to have sort of changed their fortunes round. It's a bit of a combination of a lack of a few players, and I guess potentially just Lee Johnson trying something new. But they've gone to a three at the back, and there's variations of sort of a 3-4-1-2 and a 3-4-3, depending on the personnel available. And since they've done that, like I say, in the last five, 1-3, drawn two. So they're on good form going into this one.
Well, as you're saying, obviously, we want to hear from you too. We'll talk a little bit about Sunderland now, but any input, any advice, any observations that you've got on Sunderland, let us know. We would love to share the knowledge. Also keen to hear any views about the lineup tomorrow. This question from MW, I think I would open up to the to everyone who's watching and listening as well, because it's difficult to call what might happen tomorrow, because we've effectively got three formations that we could play from: the 4-4-2 from the first half of Barrow, second half against Wigan, the 3-5-2 second half against Barrow, or going back to the 4-2-3-1, which we think might be McKenna's favorite option, and you kind of think that would make sense. But we will talk about Ipswich after we've talked about Sunderland, so give us your views on those, because I don't think Seb and I have got any insights on that better than anyone else. It's difficult to research that, whereas we can do a little bit of research on Sunderland. So let's head back to Sunderland, Seb. And I guess if I was to give folk some cause for optimism...
Crumbs of comfort, fair to say, last week.
Crumbs of comfort. It's fair to say that Sunderland are more of a home team than they are an away team, perhaps.
Very much so, yeah. The away form is definitely mid-table, isn't it? Played 10, only won 4, drawn 2 and lost 4. Goal difference of -5 away from home. So they're very much mid-table away. They're very much at home. So I think the home side is it third, I think, a third or fourth in the league. So they're not great on their travels. It's their home wins that are really, really keeping them up there. And interestingly, I saw on one of the websites I was reading earlier, they've won the same number of home games this season so far as they won in the entirety of last season. So they've really, really sorted out their home form, and that is why they are up there at the moment. Last time out was at the Stadium of Light, beat Plymouth 2-1. Obviously, Plymouth have had a bit of a rocky spell since Ryan Lowe moved on to Preston. They sort of peaked by beating us, and then along came Ipswich. There's a recurring theme here, isn't there? And they started to make their way down the table. But that's a great result for them. You know, goals from Nathan Broadhead and Daniel Neal. They're third on merit, and they're looking pretty good. I think I can see Rotherham, Wigan and Sunderland starting to pull away a little bit, I think, in the new year.
Do you think? I think Rotherham and Wigan, but I do think that Oxford and Sunderland have got this, you mentioned it, the streakiness about them. That doesn't take much to rear its head again. You know, if they don't win tomorrow, for example, if for somehow we manage to contrive a win out of tomorrow, which I'm not predicting, by the way, you can see how that might unsettle things and suddenly it's back to square one, because they do have injuries, which we'll talk about shortly. But it is in Lee Johnson's locker, isn't it? And their supporters weren't particularly happy with him a few weeks ago. I just saw a fan on Twitter when we sat Paul Cook saying, "Do you want Lee Johnson?" And I kind of thought, well, I could do worse. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that they go on another, you know, they're very up and down. Worth mentioning this away form, though, as you said, only four wins away, but four defeats away. A negative goal difference away from home of -5. They are 10th in the away league table, for all the good that that's worth. But as we said, maybe some crumbs of comfort there. Talk to us about there's some stats here, Seb, and the kind of style of play we might expect. I mean, it's a Lee Johnson team. Possession, the number I've got is 53% on average possession per game, which isn't particularly exciting or surprising. I don't think it's particularly
top third in the league, roughly.
Yeah, top half of the table. Yeah. Not certainly not top six. So it's not, you know, the research that I found actually suggests they score quite a lot of set piece goals as well. We know that to our cost as well. But yeah, tell us about their attacking attributes, the defensive attributes, maybe a little bit of style of play and stuff like that.
Yeah, so 38 goals scored. They've scored one more than we have so far this season. It's a very similar records in that respect. That works out 1.8 goals per game. They average 13 shots per game, so they like to get their shots off, which we didn't really see at the Stadium of Light, to be honest with you. You know, the effort from...
An away number, by the way. The home number is
okay,
not
fair enough. Yeah. Okay, fair enough, yeah. The 09 effort on goal, I think, was one of the first ones, the first shot on target of the game. They tend to create two big chances per game, so they're pretty clinical. They'll create roughly what they score, so it's not that they're missing loads of chances. They're pretty clinical with Ross Stewart up front in the chances that they're taking. And like you said, a decent number of set-piece goals. 9 out of their 38 goals have come from set-pieces, as like you said, as we know. And when you've got someone of the quality of Aidan McGeady, who shouldn't be playing tomorrow, he's been absent for the last few weeks, but, you know, as we found to our cost, he can deliver a quality ball when needed. And I guess Alex Pritchard is the one that's sort of taken that mantra on at the moment. They do concede, though, 25 goals conceded, so like I said, another sort of crumb for comfort, which is 1.2 per game, so hopefully we can get at them. Only kept 6 clean sheets so far in the league this season, but only one on the road, interestingly. One on the road, 6 in total, only one on the road, so this all ties into the very average mid-table away form, which is being sort of propped up by their amazing home form.
And again, this is where I look really clever or really stupid. It's a thin line with me. My random fact for Sunderland, and I found this league table thing that I really love now, first half league table, second half league table, and Sunderland very much a first half team. If we keep them out at half time, there's a really good chance that, you know, there's something we can build. I mean, it goes without saying, if you keep it 0-0 at half time, it's something to build on. But Sunderland win a lot of their points and one of their matches by being ahead at half time. They're 12th in the second half table, so they kind of get in front and sit back. I know obviously that was different against us, but worth noting that. I mean, on the first half table alone, as in the results at half time, they're third, and as I said, 12th on second half performances. So, you know, away form not great, second half form not fantastic. We're trying to find these little rays of light, Seb. We're doing our best, aren't we? Let's talk about formations then, because you said that the Ipswich match, the defeat for us, was a bit of a game... Oh, I was going to use the word game changer there.
Game changer.
It was a bit of a moment where things changed. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we were expecting a 4-2-3-1 on that day because that's what they'd played pretty much every game for the entire season, apart from a couple of variations in the EFL trophies and the League Cup. So they went to two up front, and that kind of, you know, I think it sort of threw us a little bit, I guess. Their fans weren't expecting that. And since then, like I said earlier, they've very much gone to a 3 at the back. Now, part of that is because they've got major issues with their left-back position. It was Luke O'Neill, the guy that scored against us, who filled in there in the
game.
We
like him.
He came across really well in that documentary, didn't he?
Yeah, the non-Sunderland Luke O'Neill supporters.
Absolutely nothing. He seemed like a really nice guy. I've actually rewatched that in the last couple of weeks since we played them last. I've rewatched the entire thing. And yeah, he just seems like a good guy. But he was getting a lot of stick pre-match in the pubs and stuff before the Sunderland game away, so they weren't too keen on him. But they've got major issues. They signed a guy in the summer who's injured. Denver Hall might be back for his first appearance of the season. But it was kind of this left-back issue, which I guess forced their hand to go to the three at the back. and that's what we're expecting tomorrow. It'll either be a 3-4-1-2 or a 3-4-3 or some kind of variation of that.
I think the SofaScore let me down because it looked like a bit of a Christmas tree, but I think I think they definitely do the wide centre backs thing, but I think it is very much a 3-4-3, I think.
And they're very strong down the right hand. So we'll come on to personnel shortly, but one of their major focuses is down the right hand side, isn't it? They've got a guy on loan from Union Berlin, who is a striker or a right attacking forward player.
Yeah, we disagree about this guy, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, I think he's filling in at wing back, and you're adamant he's kind of a left winger bombing on.
He's a left winger.
A left winger bombing on.
He is a left winger. I think he is in the team sheets. I think he's being allocated as a wing back, and he can play left or right. I don't think he's got the positional discipline to stay there. I think his inclination is to push forward. So again, in respect to trying to find opportunities or things that might work in our favour, I don't think his defensive sensibilities are good enough. I think it's kind of similar to playing Gwion Edwards or Wes Burns as a right wing back. Yeah. You know that they are familiar with playing up the pitch, and I don't think he's... It just feel like a temporary situation because of lack of personnel, as you said.
Yeah.
But I do think he'll drift higher and higher at the pitch. So
I think Lee Johnson realised that, doesn't he? Because he plays Bailey Wright as the right-handed centre-back behind him. So I think he does that to compensate. You've got Bailey Wright as the right-handed centre-back, Tom Flanagan in the middle, and then Callum Doyle, the young lad on loan from Man City, plays on the left. So I think Lee Johnson is in agreement with you, and he puts that experienced body in there to make up for the deficiencies of the guy playing out of position ahead of him.
But four goals for Dejaku, isn't it? And
scored
Gooch on the other side he gets the goals, and Gooch gets the assist, doesn't he?
Yeah, Gooch is an injury doubt, so he was subbed at halftime in the Plymouth win. One report said he had no chance of making it, and then Lee Johnson's come out saying he'll face a late fitness test, so he might well slot in. If he doesn't, I'm not sure who they'll play in the left wing back role, because a nine is out as well. It might be this Denver Holm guy makes his first appearance of the season, but that would be a big, big ask for him to do 90 minutes in a wing back role. So I guess we'll see what they're going to do there. And then they will look to bomb on, and that is potentially an area where we could look to exploit it. I'm guessing Wes Burns isn't going to be back tomorrow. We've not really heard, have we? But he's not going to be there tomorrow to make the most things. So it's going to be on the full backs to kind of push up and really look to exploit the space in behind them.
One player that we were talking about as being a high potential player who hasn't really made a massive impact, who couldn't really get in the team, who now has because of this change of formation, is Alex Pritchard. Might be familiar to folk from Huddersfield and also them lot up the road. He's starting to make an impression, isn't he, Alex Pritchard?
Yeah, he's sort of got in the number 10 role, or the sort of the three. He can play out wide, sort of wide left as well. Very much like Aidan McGeady, he can drift inside on his right foot and look to make things happen. And look, he's an absolutely class player. He's too good for League One level. You know, we said last time we did this show, I think it was me and Ben did the Sunderland game. We said, you know, he's had some big money moves in the past in the Premier League and stuff. So he's a top class player for this league, and he's finally starting to get going and starting to tick a little bit. He's got two goals and three assists. He's going to be sort of their main attacking creative outlet with the two players behind him in the sort of the double pivot being Carl Winchester, who was right back last time we saw him. He sort of had to fill in due to injuries. He's now gone to back to his favoured position of central midfield alongside Daniel Neal, who's got six assists so far for the season and came through their academy.
Scored last week as well, obviously. Yeah. I mean, no doubt who the star man is, Seb, but he's not going to put a shift in. He is going to be waiting for the chances and pouncing, isn't he?
Very much a poacher. Yeah, Ross Stewart, very much a poacher. 11 goals for the season. I think he was on that when we played them last time, actually.
Oh, really?
I think he had the same number of Macaulay Bonn, if I remember correctly. So very much like Bonn, he's kind of gone off the ball and not scored for the last few games. I'm sure you're going to look this up and probably instantly correct me. But yeah, he's very much the star.
He scored against Morecambe, but yeah, you're right. He scored against Rotherham, but since playing us, he's only scored
once in the last five games or so. So a little bit out of form, maybe, but he's the star man, like you say. And it's come out of nowhere, really. He only scored a couple of goals last season, but he's really taken his chance this year with the likes of Charlie Wyke and Maguire and stuff moving on, and Will Grigg going out on loan again. So he's really taken his chance, and he is very much their star man. But like you said, he's not going to be pressing from the front or, you know, really looking to run himself into the ground for the team like Bond does for us. He's very much a poacher. He's going to want all those sort of 6-yard chances and look to gobble them up. And then one alongside him is Nathan Broadhead, who's on loan from Everton. He started up against us. He's got four goals so far this season. He's likely to either pair with him in a two up front, or if it's the 3-4-3, he'll be out slightly to the right with Pritchard slightly to the left of Stewart.
And I guess, Spoker, you mentioned, I think briefly, Embleton, who had a really good start to the season, but presumably he's not featured much of late. We've talked about Aidan O'Brien. He's always kind of a perennial bench option for them, there or thereabouts. But McGeady's kind of disappeared out of the team.
He has, yeah. So I think his last appearance was against Shrewsbury, which was sort of 23rd of November-ish. But I couldn't find any information on injuries or something. So I assume it is an injury because, you know, he's one of their key players, isn't he? I assume he'll be straight back in when he's fit again. But no, he's not been in the last few games. So hopefully he'll be missing on the weekend. Because he always seems to play well against us as well. I remember even when we battered them like 5-2 under Mick at Portman under the lights one night, I'm sure he scored like two absolute worldies on the night, you know, and he got the penalty against us a few weeks ago. Yeah, so he's one of those players that I think, you know, will really look to damage us, but hopefully he won't be there.
Fingers crossed. Let's go back to the comments. We asked for your insights about what John McGuire is likely to do tomorrow. Seb, keep that in the back of your mind because I'm going to come to you or I'm going to get your pins on these, certainly. Firstly, David, evening chaps, plans scuppered by COVID. David, sending you all the best for a recovery, and hopefully it's nice and mild and all that kind of stuff. But he's predicting a 3-1, as always. Come on, you Blues. MW, let's not do 4-2-3. Well, there's an extra player there. Maybe we should do 4-2-3-2, but presumably doesn't want to do the Paul Cook's old formation. But we have, I think it was Ben's insight that McKenna does favour that. But I quite like the 3-5-2 in the second United, half against
Barrett. United did play that a fair few times under Solskjaer, didn't they? You had Maguire sort of left of a back three with Shaw and Wan-Bissaka bombing on. So, you know, McKenna must have had input into that and stuff. So without a squad, a 3-5-2, I think, would potentially favour us, you know, to get the two up front. And then you can look to get Wolfenden back in the side for that ball player from central, you know, to bring the ball out quickly from the back and look to build through the middle and stuff.
Yeah, I do like that. I don't think he'll do it, though, sadly. But, he'll, you know, what do we know? What do we know? Lee Johnson said it takes 3 weeks training to learn into new formation. So interesting they changed it mid-season. And I guess that's what good coaches are doing, right, Seb? They are always evolving and adapting. And that, I guess, is a big criticism of Paul Cook.
It's what lost him his job ultimately, isn't it? Let's be honest, it was the complete lack of a plan B that was the reason why, sadly, he couldn't ever really get us going because, you know, once a team scored against us, we knew we weren't going to change anything. We'd sub a right winger for a right winger. We'd sub a striker for a striker, and it would always be the 4-2-3-1. So you'd like to think with McKenna now, you know, if he's done multiple sort of, you know, formations with, albeit with, you know, vastly superior players at Man United, hopefully we might see a little bit of variation there. And if not, just hopefully something in-game and a proper plan B for when things aren't going to plan.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kieran McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, we mentioned, Eric's mentioned the injuries. We talked about that. Luca Nine, a utility player, is obviously going to be a big miss there. Charlie D is asking us about people sitting out of COVID. I've heard two names, Seb. Have you heard two names?
I have.
Did we hear them from external sources? Well, yes. Cameron Humphreys.
He's a contact of a roommate, isn't he, or something? Yeah.
And
I know we've heard two names in the first team squad, haven't we?
Yeah. Are we allowed to say them, do you think?
No, we'll keep that under wraps now, just in case Lee Johnson's
I thought it was out in the public domain, but I'm not going to gamble, but I have heard two.
I don't think it is. No, McGreal came out today and said we've got a couple of lads who've dropped out due to contacts. Apparently he said we've had no positive cases ourselves, but a couple of players are having to isolate because of the rules, the isolation rules, if it's the Omicron variant are different to if it was the old Delta variant and stuff. So I guess, we won't mention them.
One is player who's been in the team recently and one is not. So there you go. I'll leave it at that. Bits, thank you so much. Bits has been super generous the last few weeks. He's obviously seen my Christmas lights and has figured out that it's Christmas time. Time to let that expectation go and watch this new guy bed in ready for a push next season. Brady McGrill and how professional he's been. Can't agree with that more, Bits. Totally with you there. Thank you so much for your generosity. We really appreciate it, Bits. Bits is brilliant. Turbo the Sailor, follow him on Twitter. Takes brilliant photos. Try to avoid him on a match day if you're like me and wearing the wrong glasses and looking a bit chubby because you've been eating too much food. But he takes brilliant photos. We've used some in our videos. I'm hoping to use some more there, Bits. And make it worth your while for that as well. But thank you so much for the super chat. If you want to do likewise, if you're watching on YouTube, the little S button, the kind of dollar button you can see there is the way to do that. Otherwise, head over to bluemondayitfc.co.uk. Let me put the link up there, all the details about what you can do to support us there if you want to. We don't expect it. We appreciate it, but we will always do this free of charge. You can find there. Let's head back to the comments. I've now had to skip around, Seb, so I'm padding. Can you tell I'm padding? Can you tell, Seb, that I'm padding?
Ever the professional.
Tell us something about, we'll come to your fact of the week in a second. I've got my own fact of the week, too. Jules, boom. With the squad we have, I honestly think our best. Yeah, me and Jules. Clever. Smart.
They got promoted last time under Burley, didn't it? It does seem to work, but I guess we'll see what the new man thinks.
Not too long ago, we were winning 5-2. That was on that Sunderland Until I Die documentary. This feels like an opportune moment to chuck in my fact of the week, or another fact of the week, which is that win at the Stadium of Light, Seb, means that Sunderland have won more games against us in our head-to-head record overall. 24 wins for Sunderland, only 24 for Sunderland, 23 for us, 8 draws in all competitions there. So Sunderland, after that unreasonable, unfair win of the Stadium of Light, now have the bragging rights overall, but we can make a difference to that tomorrow. FPL is going to 3-5-2. FPL Tractor, we want to know, Seb and I, when can we start to swear? Because we're kind of 40 minutes in now. We've been really...
Presumably when 101 ramps up, we'll start just hurling abuse at each other. We've
been trying really hard, FPL Tractor. So if you can give us the green light on at least one curse word, we'd really appreciate that. Michael, 3-5-2 with the wingbacks pushing up to make it 3-5-2. Looks like a lot of people like that formation, Seb.
And you see the big boys in the Premier League starting to, Conte always plays a three at the back and...
It's the popular one at the moment, but
it is, and these things are cyclical, aren't they? 4-3-3 was all the rage a couple of years ago, and now it looks like people are going for three at the back. And like I said, with the people we've got, I would suggest it does favour us better because you can get Edmondson in the middle, Burgess on the left, and Wolf on the right for some balance and some ability to bring the ball out of play. You've got either Danasian or Vincent Young at the on the right wing back position, and it allows you to get Fraser potentially in as well, doesn't it, into his favoured sort of number eight role, the left of a three. So it does seem to tick a lot of boxes, but we'll have to see. Apparently, McHenry is definitely 4-2-3-1, man.
Luke 09, my favourite footballers right now. Jules, for all the entertainment you lads bring every week, Ipswich Till I Die. Jules, thank you so much. Really appreciate that, Jules. Thanks so much for that. VIP in terms of Blue Monday. Yeah, I mean, all the people who are watching right now, so wouldn't you say, are the VIPs of the Blue Monday. We're a community, aren't we? So
absolutely,
we appreciate you all. But the people right here, right now, the ones listening as well later on demand, you're the ones who matter most. So thank you for that, Jules. Really appreciate that. Merry Christmas to you. Back to the comments. We're getting some lineups. I probably need to figure out how these look. Firstly, Blue. Selina and Burns will miss out this week. We think that's pretty certain. Well, certainly Burns, but I think Selena
definitely Burns. Apparently neither are going to make it. So
FBI Tractor, Walton, Wolfenden. Is this a four? Do you think
that looks like a four at the back? Wolfenden at right back, I think, doesn't it?
Hilmazini, Morsey, Fraser, Penny. No, it's a 3-5-2.
Sorry, it's wing backs. Yeah,
Bon and Chaplin. Is that Chaplin up front for you, FBL? Try to get back to us, let us know whether you're playing Bon and Chaplin up front. That's an interesting one, Seb. Would you, if it's a two up front, would you play Piggott and Bon?
I think so. I mean, I'd play Norwood and Bon.
He has deserved it, hasn't he, Norwood?
I think so, yeah. Like I said, I didn't watch the Barrow game, so I don't know how he got on there. But, you know, he's taken his chance and scored at Wigan, and he just gives us something different, doesn't he? He's that player who can make the ball stick. He's kind of schooled in the dark arts a little bit, which you do need at this level. So I would not be surprised to see him start up front alongside Macaulay Bon tomorrow.
New manager, new hope, 100 shots, 100 goals, says Michael. Let's not get his hopes up too much. I did put this up before FPL tried to cut that first half, second half thing, but also their fans getting on their back if they're not winning. Yeah, that just feel like they're fan. I mean, and that might be a factor of the home, of the away thing as well, Seb, because that home support, when it's with you, is so powerful, but away from home, not so much. I mean, they'll bring good numbers there, but an interesting observation from FPL Tractor, do you think?
Yeah, well, it won't take much for them to turn at all. We saw it at the Stadium of Light. You see it in all the Sunderland documentaries. You know, they are kind of almost on the cusp a little bit. So if we could, hopefully, maybe score early. And, you know, we've got 29,000 people in the stadium and they're all rocking. Hopefully, they could start to fold a little bit.
Bring the noise, as Mark Detmer says. On that, realistically, what do we expect the attendance to be tomorrow? It feels like the C word, not Christmas.
Yeah, well, they'll announce 29,800 or something, won't they? Was it 29,600 yesterday? I think it was. Yeah. So they'll announce something along those. However, yeah, you might find there's a fair few seats around the place given the current situation we've got going on.
And I think it's worth saying we respect whatever your decision is to go tomorrow. It's certainly not a decision that you should make on the basis of the opinions of other people and that kind of stuff. So you decide what to do.
Yeah,
and your family with Christmas coming as well. So
yeah.
Yeah. Here's Jules' lineup, Seb. What do you think of this? Humphreys in. We think Humphreys will miss out, by the way.
Yeah, I guess he's got him in there in the left wing back kind of role, hasn't he?
He's young, yeah, though, Jules.
I don't know who Young is. Another Nick three Young at the back.
Next chance.
Ashley Young on loan. Another three at the back. And yeah, I agree. Bon and Norwood up front is pretty decent, I'd say, at this level.
Christmas tree formation. Here's Michael again. We play Christmas pudding formation. Whee! The Christmas bants is here. This is what we want. David W. Wolfenden won't be a solid centre back under the new management, he says. I don't know. I think Wolfenden's got a chance.
Yeah, he's looked so good the first year we came back down. Struggled a little bit last year, but he's got all those attributes. And I guess Cook never really trusted him and wanted to make his mark and bring his own men in. But for me, I'd have Wolfenden in the team. I can see the argument, I guess, in a back two. Edmondson is 100% nailed on. And I guess, you know, you go for the physicality of Toto, the balance of Burgess. But for me, Wolfenden should be right up there because he's got something the other ones haven't got. He can bring the ball out and link play really, really well.
Yep. Kirk. DiGiorgio, another one of these good names that I love saying. Thank you so much for the super chat. He is encouraged by the new appointment, a modern setup after years of old school management. We lost ground on many teams in this respect. I totally agree. And that's why I'm kind of encouraged by this appointment, Seb. It kind of has the sense of Liam Manning.
We're finally joining the 21st century.
But it's a coach, and no disrespect to Liam Manning, obviously, who's doing a brilliant job at MK. But Kieran McKenna he's been coaching
Man United
and Spurs.
Ronaldo and Pogba.
You really have to hope, don't you? Kirk, thank you so much for that. We really appreciate that. Thank you for your support. I'm feeling a lot of pressure for us to have to do more giveaways and mugs and all that kind of stuff in the new year. So keep your eyes peeled, folks, on that. We do appreciate your support. Thank you so much for that. Getting back to the comments to see if I can pick up where we left off. Lots of chat in the comments with folk correcting each other, which I will leave you to do here. We've got a score prediction, though. Say we've got a 1-0. Is that an away win?
Is that an away win to Sunderland? Okay, fair enough.
I personally don't think we'll
do predictions at the end, obviously, but I don't think we'll win tomorrow, personally. I think you and me might have the same score tomorrow.
I've got a feeling we're going to say the same. Sunderland win.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No. I'm going 1-1.
I really hope I'm wrong. I mean, this is something I wake up and say most days, I hope I'm wrong. but I just think that there's something to be said for momentum, and Sunderland have that at the moment. We're off the back of Barrow. Admittedly, a lot of first-team players weren't involved and probably benefits from a bit of a rest. But I just think it will take a small mistake, a little bit of a lapse of concentration, and Sunderland will exploit that. And that's probably my fear. And also, I'm concerned by our defensive setup for set pieces, and we know that Sunderland will score. Here you go. Sunderland will score from a corner, guys, tomorrow. There you go. I've said it now.
Well, you brought back the old Rich's predictions from the start of the season. Yeah, that we banned.
Sorry, guys. But that's my fear tomorrow. I hope I'm wrong. And I also think the Packard Portman Road, the ownership, we've got people talking about that, will make a positive psychological impact as well. You have to hope Kieran McKenna's going to be in the stand as well.
Yeah.
John McGreal has talked about the new manager bounce. You have to hope, Seb, that has an impact, don't you?
And that's why I'm slightly positive. I'm going to go for the 1-1 draw.
Yep. 3-1. There you go. 3-1. Yeah, the BT formation prediction. Keep the faith. Come on, you Blues. Eric Clapton is just, he's on my naughty list now. Fraser's, I love Scott Fraser. There you go. I've said it.
We don't play to suit him.
We don't exploit him.
He doesn't fit in. We've signed him for a position that we don't play. So, he's not a 10. He's not a wide left. He's said it himself, isn't he? He's the left side of a 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
At the moment, we don't play that. He can't work in a 4-4-2. So, his only choice is a 3.
You can't work in a 4-4-2. How about that? How about them apples?
He's gone. The brandy in his history town, Craig Forrest mug is finally kicking in. Braces of FBL tractor, the profanity is incoming.
If you like Scott Fraser like me, can you let me know in the comments?
I'd like him a lot. I agree with you, but I just think at the moment, given how we play, I think we've got better options.
All right. Whatever, Seb.
As the stats back up.
FBL tractor, our under-23s. It's interesting to see what the John McGreal situation is. If he suddenly leaves...
I don't think he will.
It would suggest that he was brought in as an interim manager, wouldn't it? But no, you expect him to stick around with Dyer.
I think he'll stay around. Yeah,
I think it undermines Dyer, though, because I really hope that Dyer's got a future as a coach in the first team, and maybe even more so. I think Dyer's got a big contribution to make going forward. I'm just worried that
Dyer's got a couple of health issues, so we don't know what his situation is. He might have to take a bit of time away, and McGreal's coming to help out and stuff. And I think the appointment of McKenna kind of shows us that the rest of the structure of the club will remain the same. The fitness guys, the conditioning guys, the under-23s, the academy side of it, I think all that will remain constant no matter who we appoint from now on. We've gone to this 21st century model of having a proper structure in place, and all we have to do, instead of changing everything every time we fire a manager, is simply replace two or three bodies from the first team coaching staff. So I don't think McGreal will be going anywhere. I think he's stepped up really well. He says all the right things. He's a bit of a hero, isn't he, given what he's done for us in the past and stuff. He's had it very, very tough, let's be honest. He's had no time to do anything. I think he'll do well in the under-23s, but equally I wouldn't be surprised if end of the season he gets a League Two job or something elsewhere.
Yep, good luck to him. Thank you, Bits. We appreciate that. We're not going anywhere as far as I'm concerned for now. So thank you for that. And he will miss Walt, and I'll miss Christian Walt, my busy mate, and did a really excellent interview with us.
The interview you do when he leaves. What did you do to him? Scared him off.
I deliberately didn't ask him questions about his future because I thought that might be a bit leading or contentious. But yeah, maybe it's my fault. And then they joked last night, you should interview Toto. Yeah, I'm not having that either. That's rude to both of us. I'm not having that. What else have we got? Very Ipswich people. There you go. The VIPs that we're talking about, even to you guys, still out there, the VIPs, they're very Ipswich people. I like that. He wants Chaplin up front, just off bond, Seb.
Yeah, it'd be good. A free role, kind of. What we know about Chaplin is he loves to get forward and support the striker, doesn't he? He's kind of a shadow striker in the role he plays if you're an FM sort of player like I am. So he'll very much get around there, bit of a pest, causes a nuisance. And yeah, I've got no issue with that, really. But for me, I would personally still start Norwood.
And I play Nord as sub lane energy. There you go. Boom. Jefferson rightly mentioning game changer folks in the stands. And we've heard from, if you haven't listened to Burke, Mark Detmer, their interview with the club, we've retweeted it from the Blue Monday Twitter account, at Blue Monday ITFC, or follow the official club Twitter, but maybe just follow us. Definitely worth listening to that. They are up for it. They're excited.
They're pumped.
Great
to
hear that, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Really
pumped.
Love that. KVY, Vincent Young, obviously. Sorry, Jules.
No, oh, yeah.
What else have we got? There you go. Score prediction, Desmond, 2-2.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I think I just can't see us scoring two goals at the minute, if I'm being honest. That's the pessimist in me.
Ashley, Norwood last minute winner, then a second booking for mouthing off at the three lines. Love that. Drama. We want that. Seb, we will come back to the comments. I just want to get... I want to play your theme tune. Here we go. Here's Seb's theme tune, everyone.
Sunderland were once involved in a three-game half of football. Back on September the 1st, 1894, it's obviously a hell of a long time ago, the referee was delayed getting to the match.
Don't go technical on this. A hell of a long time ago.
Yeah, it's the official term. The official was delayed getting to the match, so a qualified person from the crowd came and took over. They played the first half, and they were playing Derby, and Sunderland were 3-0 up. The referee then arrived and said, look, I'm here now. What do you want to do? Do you want to crack on and play the second half, or do you want to start again from fresh and I'll just referee the whole game? Derby, because they were 3-0 down at halftime, said, well, I think we'll start again and hopefully, you know, get a better result. So they did. They played it again. So they played three different halves and they lost 8-0 in the end. So restarting the game did absolutely nothing for them. I thought that's quite an interesting duel that I found.
There you go. Seb's fact of the week, as always. And if it's not entertaining, it's informative, and that is what we want. That is what we want. I'm going to put your theme tune up again, so I'm sorry. Here we go. Just a few plugs before we move further forward. Blue Monday, itfc.co.uk is where you can find all the details. Our running order for the week in terms of shows is on there. The links to our YouTube, our podcast feeds are on there. How to support the channel, that kind of stuff is on there too. So do head over there and get involved with what's going on there. Worth mentioning, the flagship show will be back on Monday morning. I'm hoping it might be out Sunday night. We might record a little bit earlier. So keep a lookout for that. I think it's me, Craig, and Dave. I think the Holy Trinity, given it's Christmas.
Best people.
Yeah, VIPs. Very Ipswich people. So keep a lookout for that, talking about Sunderland and all that jazz. And we'll figure out the strategy for Christmas and New Year shows. Obviously, keep an eye on what's happening with fixtures and so on. But there will be content of some kind out there. So we'll let you know there. As again, all the details there or on our socials. Keep a lookout for that. Also worth mentioning, if you get up early of a morning and like listening to the radio, you might find one of the Blue Monday team. I think it might be Ben or Craig. We'll be on TalkSport tomorrow at 6:30 a.m. the prime time slot. That's what we call it. Talking about Kieran McKenna and all things Ipswich Town. So if you are, you might be awake for lots of reasons, cricket, or you might have small people running around at that time of the day. TalkSport, tune in and hear what Ben's got to say, or Craig. We don't know about Kieran McKenna and what's going on in Ipswich Town. So and more good involvement in media from the Blue Monday team. So we like that. Seb, let's do Room 101, and then we will finish by blitzing through the comments. How about that? Let's do Room 101. And a good week for you, Seb, if I put the league table up there. Nicely poised, I think, is how I would describe this after your big wait to flag offside decisions, largely in the VAR era, isn't it?
Yeah, more so. Ben continues to anger people by slagging them off and then asking for their votes in Room 101. So it always works quite well.
He's doing that now. He's slagging Ben right or chucking him right under the bus.
I just sit back and let him stir up and suggest people on Twitter are silly, and then they don't vote for him. It's a brilliant strategy I've adopted.
I can't believe you're getting whole points for these. Then you should be getting half points for these gimmies. It was quite close, actually. It was much closer than you're making out.
It was 60-40.
That's close for Room 101.
No, I'm hunting you down. You've done an Ipswich. You've peaked too soon. You can't handle being the hunted, as Paul Lambert said once.
I'm the Paul Lambert of Room 101, aren't I?
Got you.
I'm going to let you go first because you have probably got. You're going to win this week, aren't you? Go on.
You got one yet? You were struggling to think of one about an
I'll
hour
make it
ago.
Up so. On the day.
Brilliant. So my one this week, it was mainly sort of brought to me sort of last night. So like I said, I went to Anfield last night and sort of 39 minutes, 6 minutes before half time, and then 84 minutes. Everybody, well, not everybody, hundreds of people just get up and start to walk towards the concourse. And I thought, okay, fair enough. There's COVID issues, etc. It's Anfield. There's 60,000 people here. It's probably very, very busy. So I was there with my mate Anthony. And I sort of said to him, is that the norm? And he was like, yeah, that's what they do every single week. People will miss sort of 10, 15 minutes of football by going to the concourse and stuff. But what really, really annoys me, I understand people have to leave early to get buses and public transport and train stuff. But what really annoys me is they get up to leave. They walk in front of you on the row. Something happens on the pitch and they just stand there in front of you, so you can't see what's going on the pitch. They just stand there and watch the action, and it's like, could you get out of the way, please? And it's really, really annoying. So my 101 is people that leave early and, you know, block your view by standing when something exciting happens on the pitch. If you leave early, get straight out and make sure you buy an aisle seat before you book an aisle seat and bugger off and don't interrupt other people.
I mean, you know what the fix is for that problem, Seb, don't you?
No.
It's to not watch a Premier League team for which you...
It happens at our games as well.
I know.
It happens at our games. If that's your best defence, that... Oh, you blocked someone's view of you?
No, I don't think I did. So what I did... So Rotherham, 2-0, about 92 minutes, I thought, well, this is definitely over. So I walked down the North Stand lower concourse to the stairwell, and there's this concrete kind of wall around the stairwell that goes down, and I just hovered there because Bon had a shot that went wide and then I could go. So I have gone to leave and then lingered, but I did so in a way that didn't inconvenience anyone around me. So that's your issue, isn't it? It's people who... I mean, what is your issue? Because you should be in your seat. Why does it matter to you?
Well, they stand in front of you. I can't see the pitch because they're leaving and they're standing in front of me to watch whatever chances are occurring on
stopping.
The pitch.
People
stop. They will actively stop and stare at the pitch because something was going to happen to see what's going on. And they are therefore standing directly in front of me and I can't see the action on the pitch. So
I mean, I've got a sense that this isn't going to be a vintage Reekin Room 101 now. The more I hear this, the less sympathy I've got for you. My Room 101, and please let us know in the comments if this is even worth putting out in the Twitter vote. My Football Room 101 is bookies who do League One manager next appointment bets. It's just so much manipulated by people putting money on random people. It is as good as pointless. It's chucking money away. So if someone bet £5 on John Terry last week, suddenly John Terry jumps up from 20-1 to 4-5 or something like that. Do you know what I mean? It's just, they haven't really figured out that at League One level, you possibly need to hold back a person or an individual until enough money has been put on them, or you need to kind of leave their odds be and then give it a day or so. I think BetVictor were trying to do that. And obviously when the fun stops, I'm not here to advocate betting. I'm just saying certain markets are utterly pointless. And I think League One new manager or next manager appointment markets are as good as pointless, because I can't imagine a huge amount of money went on Kieran McKenna. I mean, there will be
theories about that.
But yeah, it just seems to me that if you could bet £10 on someone and their odds go from outlandish to suddenly being a favourite, and then we have to kind of talk about it, or as supporters, we kind of, oh, bloody hell, so-and-so has been linked. And that's purely because we haven't got any insight as to what's happening in Mark Ashton's office or the hotels, wherever he's doing interviews. And the only thing we've got as a reference is the bookies. We're just going to make random conclusions and get really pissed off about stupid names, when all it is people betting. £20 bet on so-and-so. Boom, they're the new favourite. Great. That's as scientific as it gets. So my issue, I need to figure out how I word this.
What are you banning?
League One, I think League One.
League One managerial bets.
Markets, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's just a fool's game, to be honest. I mean, betting is a questionable thing anyway. I know, I'm sure.
You say that. I've still got my £10 sitting in Sky Bet for Ipswich Town to become a championship club before 2025, because I was giddy with excitement the day the takeover was announced.
There you go. Well, Kieran McKenna could still do the business for you. So I think we've got people leaving games early and lingering around in the way at Anfield.
Not at Anfield. It happens at every game.
Happened to you at Anfield.
But I could have been at Barrow and it probably would have happened. I'd imagine a lot of people walked out of Barrow with five minutes
left
to go.
And quite right too, because they've travelled a long way.
You're just trying to sabotage it already. You're trying to belittle my choice.
If you haven't figured out that Football Room 101 is partly psychology and partly football, then you've not caught on quick enough. So we've got people leaving grounds early and lingering in the way, and League One management...
Yeah, not a vintage week.
Not a vintage week, is it? I don't know if I dare go in the comments.
I thought mine was brilliant last night. When I was stood there, I thought, right, this is my 101. And my mate Anthony sort of backed me up. He was like, oh, yeah, that's a good one. You'll definitely win that. And yeah.
There we go. Yeah, well, I think Lee's backing you up there.
I think a slow week is very kind there, Lee. Thank you.
I did FBO tracks. I did wonder if the money laid was worth the analyst's hours pay. Exactly right. Jules. I think this could be a nil-nil. You're right, Jules. Yeah. I think we've, this has not been a good one. Here we go. Bits with some information. It's a low market cap. So any significant, yeah, there you go. That's my point. That illustrates my point. Don't bother with it. Don't bother with it. Okay, Seb, rich versus gambling, Seb versus the general public. I think in that respect, Charlie, surely I win, no? You guys need to get more focused on this room 101 stuff. Neil board draw. I think we will agree. We will put this out on the Twitter poll as always, but maybe I will put 0-0. Maybe we'll get half a point each, Seb, for a 0-0 draw.
If you look at the comments, Welsh Wizards nailed that. Why didn't we think of that?
Put the phrase new era in room 101. Well, this is I think possibly we're going to run out of things to put in room 101. I do think maybe there's a new there's a new feature here. We came up with lots of stuff. It's after 9 o'clock FBL tractor. Here comes a warning. I think we need a new version of the shit list, don't we? And maybe that's the kind of thing we put these token phrases like project and new era. Maybe we'll do that. We'll give us some thoughts in the chat if you've got any features, but maybe we need to bring back the poop list.
You can't cancel 101 just because you're top of the league.
I can do what I want, mate.
We have to have a properly ended format.
It's not a democracy. Brilliant. Let me prove that I can do what I want, because I'm going to put here's the music. I can do what I want. Click.
So thank you, everyone. You start to lose your lead, and you're just going to cancel the feature.
Shut up!
Brilliant.
What we need to I'm doing a face saving. Is it face saving? Let's just end it on a draw. That's what we should do. Then everyone wins. Football wins.
But Craig still wins. Craig's still got the best points per game ratio.
Don't worry. If Craig's watching, I'll find a way to contrive so Craig's taken out of it. Firstly, he got a 2-for-1 1 week, which I'm not happy about. I'm still bitter about that one. If you want a shout out or to give us a prediction for Sunderland, get that in the chat now. We will get through as many of the comments as we can. We're going to end things shortly. Just worth again flagging bluemondayrtfc.co.uk. Worth flagging as well, our partners at the Greyhound, the best pre-match and post-match venue during the week, non-match
anytime
days.
Yeah.
Head to the Greyhound, great pub, great big outdoor space with heaters, beer.
Do we know what their new menu is going to be with the new manager?
We don't. Not announced yet. I might have a chat with Dan at the Greyhound and see we're going to be here for a while.
Kieran McNuggets.
There you go. Boom. I think he got a request from possibly Daryl that to announce it in the same way that they put the kind of manager board at Portman Road and revealed
what inscribed.
Inscribe it on the Greyhound behind the bar, something like that. But head to the Greyhound tomorrow or Saturday, depending on when you listen to this. And why not visit there during the week as well? The great people at the Greyhound, we love the Greyhound. So give them your support just as much as they give us their support too. Have we had score predictions from you yet, Seb?
Yeah, I've mentioned it previously. I'm going for a 1-1.
A 1-1, okay.
I think we'll go 1-0 down. And then I think McKenna will go down at half-time and very much like Steve McLaren when we drew 4-4 against Derby. We'll see something incredible happen in the second half. No, I think it'll be a 1-1 draw. Bit of optimism going into hopefully what won't be a cancelled Christmas fixture list.
Fingers crossed. And the flagship show back Sunday night, maybe, but definitely Monday morning, you will find the flagship show talking about Ipswich Town Sunderland, Craig, Dave and me talking about that. And we will put our usual ask for questions out full time. If you want to give us a GIF reaction as well, we're trying to do that now as well. Stolen that from WTF1 for anyone who knows that. So nicked it from them. So if you want to give us just a GIF reaction rather than text, then feel free to do that. I'm going to rattle through these comments. Scott Fraser comes up a lot. I've asked for some Scott Fraser input. Here we go. Jack Berham, I feel was the best player we signed in the summer. Jack Berham is a genius. There you go. I said it. Thank you, Jack. He realizes it. Jules, though, me and Jules are going to fall out. I thought we were best buddies, Jules. I think he's, I like Fraser, just think he's slow. In the right position, people running off him could have a great second half of the season. He's swung it back. Well done, Jules. Love that. Cornish Mariner, Fraser is the one player that consistently unpicked defensive blocks. He just needs the ball in the right place. There we go. What else have we got going back a few months? Do we know why they let Butcher? No, that was never really revealed that.
No. Seemed very strange, didn't it, given our defensive frailties at the time? It was very, very strange to move
his
him on.
Choice, perhaps.
Yeah,
but
potentially.
Obviously, McGreal has come in now. So
maybe he fancied Barrow away on ITV4.
He's living the dream. FPL tractor. Scott Fraser will be a great player for us if we play a three-man central midfielder. Could also see Harper playing a similar role. There you go. What else have we got? What's this about Tom Lawrence? When we had Tom Lawrence at the club, we loved him. He was sold for $2 million, which Evans wouldn't pay. Walton might go for less, having only 6 months left. Wouldn't it be good if our owners bought him? I mean, Walton.
It was not going to take much, surely, to secure him, is it? You know, maybe a 700, 800 grand offer to get him done. I guess his wages are potentially going to be a bit of a stumbling block, given he's on a Premier League backup contract goalkeeper. I mean, he could easily be on.
He might go to Championship.
Struggle with, but yeah, Championship is could blow us out of the water with that one. But that would be a big blow. But don't worry, Kladke can come back in.
I think we need to get behind Kladke as well. Michael Warren, is there one player that might be in the 18 that will come out of the blue? So Morris was in the 18 on Wednesday, Seb, against Barrow. Any John McGrew's last hurrah?
I guess it will depend on the COVID issues, won't it? If there are people missing, we might see a couple of youths get some spaces on the bench. It was great to see Morris back. Obviously, he's had a terrible time over the last 3 years with injuries, so great to see him back on the bench. But I think it will be pretty much the expected squad for tomorrow.
Michael's going for a 3-2 win. He's not sure why.
Imagine that. If the win is in the last minute, wouldn't that be amazing in front of 29,000 people?
Too much, son, Michael. He's used to it now, Lee. That's the trouble. He's acclimatized. He's one of them now. Craig will be talking about the cricket if he's on TalkSport. I feel sorry for anyone who loves cricket. I just really don't. Bits is totally... Yeah, he's nailed it.
Oh, yeah.
But what do I put in Bits? Take Ipswich in the FA Cup. Then I have to remove 98.
All Ipswich Town Cup form since 2014.
Yeah, but then we lose 78, don't we? So can someone put the TalkSport thing and post it? I mean, we could post it on our Twitter, Eric, if you prefer. It will be available on demand. We'll try and find a way to link it. Charlie D's supporting you there.
Good lad.
Seb on Room 101. Jules is quite right. If you bring back terracing, that is going to sort that issue. FPL, those betting markets did seem weak. There's some support out there.
There's some support for our crap choices,
but not a huge amount. Can you put Room 101 into Room 101? There you go, FPL Tractor. I think that's my comment of the week. I quite agree with you. I think this feature might have jumped the shark today. Never mind. Just put more work in and keep there. You go, Bits and FPL Tractor agreeing with all of there. 3-0. Eric Clacton confident now. 3-0. I mean,
that would be amazing, but
me and Anthony agree.
Oh, sadly. Miserable.
Misery loves company. Charlie Z's going for a 1-0. Yeah. Bits. I worry. Oh, Bits. Come on. If we keep the defeat below 3-0, then we might not feel so bad. Bits. Oh, I want to give you a virtual hug, social distanced hug. Michael, thanks for being with us at 1 a.m. Sunday morning for the game. All the best from Brisbane. Thanks for joining us, Michael. We appreciate that. FPL is going for a 2-2. Bon and Edmondson. Jules going for a 2-1. Yeah, there you go. 2-0 brain. That's where I'm coming from. Do we know if McKenna is going to be introduced to the pitch tomorrow? So it feels like that should happen, shouldn't it?
Yeah, with the ownership group, I guess. Will they go on the pitch and do a wave? Brett Johnson never did it, did he, when he came across? I think they were going to do... If all five had been there, there'd have been something in the centre circle, wouldn't there? But I guess those plans have been a bit scuppered. So, yeah, I can't see why he wouldn't come out and hold the scarf up and wave to the various stands before disappearing off to the director's box. It would make sense. It would definitely make sense to do that and build a bit of atmosphere before kickoff.
I'd maybe do it at half-time. If we're 1-0 down, do it at half-time, maybe.
Yeah, what if you're 3-0 down at half-time? Christ.
Oh, yeah, game over.
Do it before the game when optimism is highest.
All right, there you go. Blues going for a 2-1. Either way, splinters on the bum there, Blue. We're not convinced either way. That's fine. David's loved to head to the Greyhound. Oh, COVID. Dan may miss more. Yeah, David bankroll in the Greyhound, as most of us do. That's quite right. 2-0 half-time, Kieran Dyer down at 8-2. We talked about this previously. What else have we got? So Bobby statuing for Fraser tomorrow. Come on, Blue. I thought we were friends. Is Fraser not going to Swansea?
He was linked. Reunited with Russell Martin.
Russell Martin knows the score. No, he knows. FBI Tractor doesn't think Morris can play.
Oh, of course. Yeah, good point. Yeah, he can't get it.
There you go. That's the lot for the comments. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Thank you so much for the super chats. We really appreciate that. Whether this whatever happens next week in terms of shows, at the very least, because I've got Christmas lights up behind me, I can say Merry Christmas to folk and look after yourselves and all that kind of stuff. Seb, do you want to give us some thoughts and final
absolutely
words?
Absolutely. Yeah. Merry Christmas to everybody. Thank you so much for the super chat donations. Thank you to everybody for watching along for the first half of this season so far. It's greatly, greatly appreciated. Have a great time, everyone that's going tomorrow. Stay distanced and safe and sanitized and wearing masks, etc. And here's to a new era. Come on, you Blues.
Yep. Let's we just had a 3-1. Sorry, for some final comments. The last flurry. Adios from Lee. James, we haven't mentioned James, so another great show, fellas. Thank you very much, James. Appreciate that. We'll be cheering on from my following. Pennsylvania, 3-1 Town. We love that. Kirk, thank you so much for the super chat. Really appreciate that. Be safe yourself. And FBO Tractor loves my pre-match shoes. Said no, he means show. There you go, FBO. One swear word. I think we did really well. Jules, thank you so much. We really appreciate your super chat as well. You stay safe too. And as Seb has said, it's a new era tomorrow. So come on, you Blues.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.